You know, the other day, I was channel surfing, and I was bored, and there was, I came across on one of those remote channels, I forget, Oxygen or something like that, and it was the movie Hook. Remember that movie? Hook? It was Dustin Hoffman, it was Robin Williams, I think Steven Spielberg was the producer of it. You got to understand that my whole life, I've been a fan of Peter Pan. You know, my mother used to say that was the first movie that I ever saw in my entire life, and it was the first book that I ever read. And when I got to college, if you want to know the truth, you know, in my sophomore year, I was dating this young woman, and, you know, I nicknamed her Wendy, and I would be called Peter. We'd always go to this bar that was the Bluegrass Tavern, but I called it Never Never Land. I have this affinity for Peter Pan. And so when Hook came out, I remember, you know, now, what, that's, you know, shoot, 30 years ago? It was incredible to see. I mean, the story, and I'm not going to give you the whole thing. If you haven't seen it, I really encourage you to see it, especially you men, because there's something about it that really, I think, has hooked men over the years with the connection to their dad. But the story is all about, basically, Peter Pan, and he grows up. Don't forget, the reason in the whole story that James Barry wrote was that Peter Pan didn't want to grow up. He didn't want to grow up, but somehow he decided he wanted to grow up, and he goes off. And basically, the gist of the story is him forgetting who he really was, and then because of some dynamics of where Captain Hook kidnaps his two children, takes them back to Never Never Land, and, you know, then Tinkerbell, who's Julia Roberts, which I wouldn't mind having a Tinkerbell that's Julia Roberts coming by and talking to me every once in a while, and she comes and gets him to get back to Never Never Land, and then he's got to battle Hook and get his kids back, basically. But the part that really hit me, and I have to confess that, you know, sometimes I think I watch the same movie over and over and over again. You know, some people would say, why? It's a repeat. Why are you doing it again? I'll be upfront with you. It's the same reason as why I like to talk to people over and again, because you get to know them a little better and you see some new things in it. What I saw in this movie Hook this time that I hadn't really picked up on was how the dynamics of Captain Hook and Peter Pan were very, very similar. I mean, Captain Hook was ruthless as Captain Hook. He had stayed consistent. But Peter Pan, who was this young boy who didn't want to grow up, that believed, could fly, you know, just saw the possibilities everywhere, he had grown up and he'd become very cynical. Actually, in his grown-up stage, he was an attorney. I'm a lawyer, you know, I think it's for mergers and acquisitions. And he was really good at it. But it was interesting because the problem in Peter's life in the movie was that he had gotten so wrapped up in being grown up that he really almost forgot the family that he had desired to make him get grown up. He'd forgotten that and, you know, he neglected them. Captain Hook, of course, was nothing more than, you know, basically a narcissist. I mean, it was all about him. Even when she gives him the idea on how to entrap Peter to get in, he thinks it's his idea, even though it wasn't his idea. You know, I saw the dynamic of these two characters. Captain Hook, who was very egocentric to the point of narcissism, and then Peter, who was incredibly egocentric, to the point that he lost almost everything because he was so wrapped up in him that he forgot what life really was. You know, it's interesting because the Peter kind of egocentricity, in some sense, is really affirmed by most of the world, isn't it? I do my job, I get my job done. I mean, you guys, let's put on, who have had families. You know, I mean, it's a lot of the times, you know, you say you came together and you want to have your wife and your children and a whole nine yards, but by God, I got to take my job. And your job almost becomes more than your, you know, if your priorities get out of whack. And we see that as sort of as acceptable. I'm earning a living so I can take care of everything. I mean, a number of men over the last 40 years that I've met that have said, well, you know, I take care of my family and I take care of the income, but they aren't present for their kids. I mean, one of the scenes in Hook is where Peter, who promises his son Jack he'll be at his baseball game, gets wrapped up in his work and doesn't make it to the baseball game. In fact, by the time he gets to the field, everybody's gone. He just neglected it. Because, well, he got in his own way. I say all of that because one of the parts in this movie is where he's got to learn how to fly again. Don't forget, Peter, when he was really Peter Pan, he flew. Think of wonderful thoughts, any little thought. Think of Christmas, think of snow, think of reindeer off you go, like reindeer in the sky. I mean, how little pixie dust, man, you're flying. Well, the grown-up Peter hates flying, doesn't even want to get on a plane. And so all of a sudden, to rescue his children, he knows that's part of it, is to return to who he was, to learn how to fly again. To learn how to fly, to get out of his own way, to believe that he could fly, to believe. And he has such a hard time believing. You know, the gospel we have today starts off, it's the gospel of John, which, to be upfront with you, can be very ethereal and drives me a little crazy sometimes because it's all these platitudes and stuff like that. I like facts. You know, and sometimes John just is so reflective, and you know, it's just not, doesn't fit my personality. It's in the part where Jesus has actually, in John chapter 6, where he's fed the 5,000, he's working more and more, and he tells the people after he's fed them, listen, the only reason you're following me is because you're hungry, and I fed you, you know, but you got to believe. And they actually, right before this, he he says to them, you do the work that God wants you to do. And they say, what must we do to do the work, you know, of God? And he says, to believe in the one who he sent. It's right after that that he comes into this where it says, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum, and many of his disciples heard it. And they said, this teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? They're having a hard time believing. Do you ever have a hard time believing? I mean, you know, do you ever have a hard time believing? You know, I think most of us, you know, when it comes to eternal life, we all say, I don't have many choices here, so I better believe. You know, I mean, so we say that we believe. But do you believe that God is with you and can allow you to live in every situation of your life? Even when things are falling apart, even when you're ill, that somehow God came to give you life, or as he says in John chapter 10:10, I came to give you life, life in all its fullness. In other words, that you can really believe that no matter what the condition of your body, no matter what the condition of your finances are, no matter what the condition of your relationship are, that God has the ability, if you believe, to have you live through it, not just survive through it. You see, I believe that a lot of the people that I meet today, they want to survive through. Let's just get to the other side. You know, let's just get it out. So I'll get the things I can depend on, which is, you know, my pension and my Social Security and, you know, my financial income or my job. It's those things. But, you know, those other things, I try and deal with them as best I can, but, you know, I just move through. And yet, what Jesus is saying here is, no, I want you to live in every aspect of your life. I want you to be alive. But it's too difficult for many of his disciples. In fact, it says real clearly that after he says, you know, they say, his teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? But Jesus, being aware of his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, does this offend you? I mean, let me ask you a question. Do you ever feel offended? Well, I got to believe. I mean, and can you go deep in yourself and believe? You know, there's certain things, you know, most people, their faith goes as far as they can conceive of it. But what Jesus is saying is, no, faith goes beyond what you can conceive. In fact, that's what faith is. Believing the unseen. And it means that to have that faith, which, by the way, Paul in the book of Ephesians says real clearly, faith is a gift of God, so you already got it. The question is, did you open the package? Okay? Because that gift has been given to you. Do you have that ability to believe that if you live into the Lord and you allow the Lord to work through you, that somehow you'll be so filled with Him that you'll be able to live in every situation of your life? You see, that's what I think these scriptures are really talking about. To where you're so filled with the Lord, not where you got it. It's not where you got it every time you turn around and say, I love Jesus. I don't mean that. I don't mean the outside stuff. I mean the inside stuff. Where you say, I just believe. I'm not going to get anxious. I'm going to trust. You see, most of us, we probably worry more than we pray. Are you one of those people? I'm worried. Let me get control over it. And you men, if you're like me, it's like if I can get my hands on it, I can handle it. Got to have it in front of me. Got to have all the facts on the line. Then I'll believe. You know? The other day, I was thinking about something, and I was actually praying, and I was thinking about somebody who I love dearly and how, you know, that he and I are in a thing together where we have to both mutually play, and it's been lately that I've been paying probably more than he's been paying, and I started saying, you know, I'm running out of that kind of money. I can't do that. So I started to pray to the Lord, you know, please let me have more money so that I can make sure I can shore this thing up that I'm supposed to be mutually doing with the other person. Okay? And all of a sudden, God hit me between the eyes and goes, why don't you believe that they'll do their part? In fact, you're standing in the way of them doing your part. Because you keep talking to me about giving you the money instead of giving them the money, or you keep talking about it. And isn't that what we usually do? It's my responsibility. I've got to get this handled. Well, you know what? The other person never grows up, if you know. And you never grow up either, because to tell you the truth, you're thinking you've got to be the one that does it. You see, it's getting out of your own way. It's getting away from yourself and just saying, it's myself that God's got to get it all together. It's where you finally say, God's got to work through me, not just for me. It's got to work through me. That's what Jesus wanted from his disciples, to believe that it wasn't all liability out there, that there was possibility out there. And that at every turn, that if we looked at him and we knew that he was with us, that somehow, no matter what, even if we got through it with scrapes and scratches and broken in half, that he would get us through it. That to the end, God would be with us through everything. And it wasn't dependent upon how it all came out on the outside. It was more on what I knew on the inside. You see, most people just want to be safe. God never promised you to be safe. He said he'd save you. He didn't say you'd be safe. And he said very clearly, you know, you got to believe. But most of us want controlled safe. Okay, I know I've got all my ducks in a row, so I'm safe. When what Jesus is saying, no, I want you to know safe, that's knowing me. You know, the story is, as you can figure out, that, you know, Peter Pan does defeat Hook, you know, and the whole nine yards. But the line that I love in that movie more than anything else is right at the end of it, when he's trying to learn how to fly. I mean, they put him through all these hoop jumps and everything else where, you know, he's trying to exercise and he gets it and he starts doing things, but he doesn't know how to fly, and he's got to think of this happy thought, you know, that place, you know, happy place, not like Happy Gilmore, but, you know, happy in what it is that makes my life worthwhile. And all of a sudden, the main person who has sort of turned from him is his son Jack, who's almost looked at Hook as his father instead of Peter as his father. Peter finally comes and says to Jack, he says, I finally figured out what I needed in my happy place. My happy place was you, Jack. It was you, Jack. It was you, my son. You're my beloved. It seems real familiar that word, you're my beloved, in a sense. You're my happy one. Isn't that what Jesus is told by God the Father? This is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. And when we eat and consume the Lord, when we let him work through us, guess what we become? We become part of Jesus. And so he says to you and to me, you are my beloved. With you I'm well pleased. Not when you do everything right. I know you're going to do things wrong. But when you believe, when you finally come to that place where I know I can trust you, God, in all things and about all things. When you believe like that, then in God the Father's eyes, you are his son, Jesus. As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you come opening your heart. Even if your egocentricity is acceptable in the world like mine is, okay? Get out of your own way. I'm trying to get out of my own way. And be a part of the way, the truth, and the life. Really believe it. And knowing that God works through me, he doesn't just work for me. Because it's in that place that, to tell you the truth, you will fly. It's the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.